Rolling?
Yeah, we're rolling.
Okay, welcome back, everybody, out there in podcast land, whatever the fuck. this episode is brought to you by BenefitPackages.com. BenefitPackages.com. That don't have health insurance still, and they don't even know how to get it, and it just seems like a big, giant headache whenever you think about it, so you just don't go. You just don't go to the doctor. I did that for a long time. I never even went to the doctor because I didn't want to go through the headache of like getting insurance or paying for it. So, guys, go to BenefitPackages.com. And it's basically like having a lawyer for your insurance. They're gonna get it for you. They'll help you decide what kind to get. They'll help you see if you qualify for free health insurance, and it doesn't have to be a big hassle. And their services are absolutely free because they get compensated by the insurance company, so it's absolutely free. So hit up benefitpackages.com, and you're gonna tell them that Parishioners Podcast sent you, and then you will also get a free gift for saying that you came from my podcast. You can get 2 free movie tickets, or now it's a Starbucks gift card. You can choose the gift that you want, and you get yourself some insurance. You help out my podcast. So it's benefitpackages.com, and the number is 1-800. It's always better to call 1-800-356-3615 and tell them Parishioners Podcast sent you, and you're not going to talk to a robot. You're going to talk to an actual person, and they'll get you going.
Hate those robots, man.
I know, man. Everywhere you call now, it's like press 1, press 10. I'm so sick of it, dude. I just want to fucking talk to a person. I just hit 0 for everything.
Or at least a nice robot.
Yeah.
Maybe one that compliments me every once in a while.
You know what I started doing? And like companies do this. They go like, if you're a new customer, press 1, or if you're an existing customer, press 2. They always ask you that now. I always press 1 that I'm a new customer, because they just want to know if they already have you.
Yeah.
They're going to make you wait.
Yeah. So now, always go with new customer.
Yeah, I always hit new customer. Dude, they answer the phone fucking quick.
Really?
You can hear them answer the phone. They're like, let me help you. And then they find out that you're already a customer. They're fucking pissed, but they can't hang up on you.
Yeah.
They got to help you.
Oh, you're already a customer.
Yeah. Fuck.
Damn. All
right. But guys, I'm here. Kevin Lyons is here, my co-host.
Hey, everybody!
Once again, joining me, and then our guest today is my old friend Sean Kerrigan.
Hey, what's up, man?
It's great to see. I don't get to see you that often.
I know, it's been a while.
And it's really cool that you're here. I'm out doing comedy. You're out doing comedy. You're filming movies. I'm filming lower budgeted movies.
hey! It's no budget.
Okay,
it's
yeah.
No
sorry,
budget.
Hey, it's all movies, man. It's all movies.
And. I'm glad that you're here. So this is awesome to have you. This is going to be a good time, and let's start the podcast.
Let's do it.
Anybody need a drink before we go? You doing coke?
I just got one.
I'm getting another water.
This is his thing. This music playing, and we're just talking about that.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I put a different song on every time.
Oh, wow. Sweet. You got yourself 2 waters?
Almost done this one.
That looks like pretty odd.
We can't put the air conditioner on, bro.
We have to talk faster.
It kind of works out that I can't put the air conditioner on out here while we're recording, because when we're recording, I have to put the dog in the other room. So this way I don't have 2 air conditioners running.
What kind of dog is it? I haven't seen it yet.
He's a pit bull.
Is he?
And
is he friendly?
He's super friendly with people.
Yeah.
But I just can't have him out here during the podcast because he is just like, he gets so
he's
excited.
He's up in your business.
He's got Wolverine claws, man.
Oh,
he'll jump on.
Yeah.
He'll be happy to see you, but he's going to tear all your shit.
If it's just me and Kevin, I'll let him be out here. But it's kind of funny. Like, you can hear him with the squeaky toy in the background, like shaking it and stuff.
Yeah, right.
People listening to the podcast have commented, like, the dog's the best part. The dog's on our lap and shit.
We're a dog-friendly podcast.
Right. I mean, I'll let you meet him before we
cool.
He's cool as hell.
What's his name?
Carmine.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he's Italian.
He's Italian.
Is
he from New York?
He's from the pound of Van Nuys.
It's so funny because we had a crazy dog growing up, and it's so funny. Like, it's okay when the family's here, you can come around, but the second somebody knocks on the door, it's like DEFCON 3. You lock the dog in the basement! Don't let him out!
That's what it is, man. Yeah. No, his name is Carmine McFly. Did I ever tell you that?
No.
That's what it says on his chip.
No.
Why'd you name him McFly?
Well, for Back to the Future, like Marty McFly.
Okay.
And then Carmine, I just thought was always like a badass Italian name, but I would never name my kid Carmine. So I was like, I'll name a dog.
Name a dog Carmine.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's certain names for certain species.
But that's a bit by Bob Marley, not the singer. There's a comic named Bob Marley.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm glad you guys
There's a comic named Bob Marley?
Yeah.
Really? He was in...
Is he funny?
He was in...
He was in some stuff.
No, he was in Boondock
Saints.
He's
very
Saints.
Funny. He was in Boondock Saints.
I ain't getting no fucking bagel.
Yeah. He's funny, but he has this bit about like when the pizza guy comes over, it's like a drug deal, and he would say when you hear the doorbell, you're like, hide the dog, get the money. Like, he's like running around the stage. It was really funny.
Oh, that's amazing, man.
But anyway, yeah, before you got here, Kev, Sean and I were just talking about some stuff. You just filmed a movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, then, nice, man.
In Columbus, Ohio. I was out there cool. for a little over a month. The movie has a working title right now. It's called Six, but it's probably gonna change. The guy I'm starring in it with a guy named Nick Gonzalez, who was on Pretty Little Liars. He's got a new show coming out. Mm-hmm. Fox. He's a very talented actor. Stevie Lynn Jones plays my daughter. She was on a NBC show called Crisis. And then Ade McCormack is in it too. He plays a priest. He was on Lost. And so it's a really talented cat.
Is this one that's gonna be on Netflix?
Yeah, it was it's a Netflix movie. Original? But but I believe that the They're. I think they're gonna get like a 10-city
release. That's cool.
They're gonna do something like that. Even so better. We're really excited about it. The performances, man, were just in the shot. We had a guy. We had a great DP named Roy Rossovich who really kicked ass and just beautiful scenery that goes with this eerie paranormal film.
Oh, okay.
It's very eerie. And
have you done a film like that before?
No, no, I haven't. And it was a trip, because I'm not really. I'm a lot like my character. My character in the movie, he's an atheist.
Yeah.
And his wife dies, and then he's left dealing with his teenage daughter, and he doesn't want to believe in the paranormal or anything. And then finally, he thinks his daughter's rebelling, but actually she's being possessed.
Yeah.
And,
oh Jesus.
And
oh,
so man. It's just it's
I love those possession movies though. Kevin all of them. Like all that. Of them. I love
it's,
all
oh,
that
this stuff. One's gonna be great, man. This one is, and I think the stuff that we shot is written and directed by Chris Freeman, this super talented guy, man. And he really wrote some scenes that are just
juicy.
Full of a lot of emotion and just all kinds of different levels of scary.
So there's you were able to have a lot of fun doing it because there was just so much content.
Yeah.
It was just a juicy script.
My character does a total like such an arc because he's an atheist. He doesn't believe in all this stuff, and then his wife dies. He's dealing with that, and then all of a sudden, by the end, he's got to become a believer.
That's something that a lot of especially like indie filmmakers, they don't take into consideration is how important a character arc is.
Oh, man.
To the character. Yeah. Like to the movie.
Sure.
So some people just come up with a good theme, mm-hmm. and then it's just the guy or the person in it is just like the same throughout. You don't see them go through that
exactly.
emotional arc.
Yeah.
That sounds like it was really fun to work on.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Let me ask you a question, Sean. When you
talk to me, Augustine. what is it? It's
I'm just curious. Like, I'm sure everybody has a different answer. So would you say that you like doing more characters that are very different than you because it's more fun to be someone else, or do you like it more when it's similar to you because it's easier?
I mean, dude, I like something that has a lot of a part that has a lot to it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Something that gives
you want
me
a story
some,
that's
yeah,
like a cool
like
story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I want like a cool story. Something that
gives you a paycheck.
something that pays me.
Yeah,
but like I want to do something that's like
that's good.
That's raw.
Yeah,
And something I can really sink my teeth into. And this is one of those parts. And then there's other stuff that I also like comedy. I mean, look, man, I like playing characters. That gives me a chance to kind of show off my acting chops a little mm-hmm. bit to people, because there's been certain things that I've done for Woodhead Entertainment, a lot of those funny
right,
videos
yeah.
and stuff like
those videos.
And so those gave me a chance to kind of like branch out and show like some different comedic sides.
Man,
so
those were hilarious.
Yeah, I saw the the one that sticks out to me was the Batman one that
you Oh, yeah, that was so
you fucking nailed that. Thanks, I remember what that was
extremely
just like
Dark Knight.
It was called, but what was cool about it is like the comedy was on, but the but it's like you weren't trying to be slapstick. It was just like what that character would have been. It was what he was experiencing what was funny and all of your quips on it. Dude, that was really that was, I appreciate that, man.
I love when Batman's like, he's like, where are they meeting? I think he was at like 8 or 8 o'clock or something. He's like, AM or PM? Yeah. And you're like, PM? Like, what do you mean? That was like perfect.
I was in prison. I got really good at checkers. Like, all you know what that kind of reminded me? It was kind of, it kind of felt like a grown up version of that scene in the Goonies when,
Chuck is like, I'll tell you everything, man. I'll tell you everything.
It was so great, man. It was like,
the other one I liked, I liked the one where it was like, whatever is the last thing that you said when you died or something. Do you remember what I talked about? That's what they put on the tombstone.
Last words.
Yeah, it's called Last Words
with Mark Pellegrino and John Bernthal.
So what's this called? Woodhedge?
Woodhead Entertainment.
And so go check it out to see what we're talking about.
Woodheadentertainment.com.
Yeah, really funny stuff.
Was John Bernthal in that one?
Really?
Yeah, he's in Last Words.
Wow, I don't remember
He's the guy sitting there. We'll watch it afterwards. He's the guy sitting there who's like, he's like, hey, soldier. I think his real last words were, I just shit myself.
I just shit myself. Yeah, that's right.
And I was like, no. That's... Yes, that's what he said, but not...
Okay, it's all coming back.
Yeah.
That was so funny.
So, those are fun. And, you know, those guys, Dan and Tony, who wrote and directed that, you know, we did all those videos, and those guys actually sold a series to Netflix called American Vandal, and we just... And I'm in 6 of the 8 episodes.
Oh, right on.
Coming out September 15th. And we're all very excited about that.
That's awesome.
Wow. Yeah, it's gonna be dope.
It's a comedy series.
Is John Bernthal in it at all?
No, he's not in it. But
that's all Augustino cares about is John Bernthal.
I like John Bernthal. Yeah, he's an actor. Good, I love like everything he's ever. Dude, fucking Wolf of Wall Street, bro.
Did you watch Daredevil?
Oh man, dude, that's like the best.
That's the best thing I've ever seen him in, man.
Absolutely, he is fucking killing it as the Punisher.
I watched the first season of that show, but I have, and he's only in the second season. That's when the Punisher comes.
Yeah,
in.
Second season, man. But now he just wrapped the first season of the Punisher.
Yeah,
he was so good in it. They gave him his own series.
I mean, I can't see why they didn't think he was gonna be so good. Yeah, that should have been planned anyway. It was so perfect. Did you see that? I think they released a teaser to that. Or did you see that scene where he was in prison in that whole hallway where he just takes down everything?
Oh, I've seen that scene, talking about season 2 Daredevil.
That was season 2, yeah.
Yeah, oh, when he's in that prison
and
he fights all those dudes.
That's like
dude, that was one of the most gangster scenes I've ever seen.
That was
so badass.
Yeah.
Shit, I'm gonna have to go.
You gotta watch it, man.
He's a badass, bro.
Yeah, no, he's cool.
Dude, I mean, like the Daredevil, they have some badass action scenes in it too. Mm-hmm. I mean, like for a TV show.
Yeah.
I mean, if you looked at like Iron, did you watch Iron Fist at all and stuff like that?
No, I didn't.
Their action scenes, like that, you could tell that they were choreographed. These ones, they look like straight up like A-list movie action scenes. Like,
well, they got an A-list fucking actor.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he's a good dude, man. And he and I came up together, and, you know, we did a lot of stuff together. And,
that's cool.
You know, we'll probably do more stuff together as time goes on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man.
What was it like working on Young and the Restless? What's that character?
Well...
Getting into that character, playing a doctor.
Yeah, he was a doctor who, you know... I mean...
I got Stitch, right?
My character's name was Stitch on the Young and the
Restless. I haven't seen Daredevil, but I know that your character's name is Stitch on Young and the Restless.
I got to hook up with two sisters and one of their stepmoms.
Oh, there you go.
Oh.
Stitch got around a little bit. and then I ended up marrying Abby Newman, and then we got divorced. So I've been divorced in real life and in TV life.
You were in that show for a long time to go through all that.
3.5 years. I was on there for 3.5. Can you believe it? 3.5 years. It went by real quick.
That's so crazy.
It did go by quick. And soap operas don't go in seasons, right?
No, it's just year round.
Every week a new episode, or is it every day?
It's every day.
Wow.
It's every day a new episode.
It really is like WWE.
All that continuity.
It's no reruns. I mean, you'll catch it. You'll catch it on they run it on the Soap Network at night,
right?
And then
to catch up,
I think they have it on Pop Television, and then in France they're actually 2 years behind. So all the stuff, nobody talked to France and spoil anything. Yeah, exactly. All the stuff that like I did 2 years ago on the show is now starting to air.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. They don't know that you got divorced. Yeah.
No, they don't know yet. So don't tell anybody.
Yeah, you guys listen. France.
Sorry, yeah. France listeners. How was it doing something so dramatic like that and then going and then assuming you afterwards you just go up on stage and make people laugh?
You know, it's funny because I got into comedy before I got on Young and the Restless.
Oh, okay.
And so then,
oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah.
And so then, but then I landed on the show, and then people would say, "You do stand up comedy?" I'd go, "Yeah, come see."
I remember some people used to come out from the show and watch a couple times. Yeah.
And so
even John Bernthal came out and watched you.
Oh, a bunch of times. Yeah. And then I got a big show August 20th that I'm doing with another guy who was a soap actor. This guy Sean Kanan. And
where's that gonna be?
I think it's going to be at the Colony Theater in Burbank.
Oh, wow. Really cool. Yeah,
and so I believe that's the – I'm pretty sure that's it.
Okay. Flyer. Well, I mean, you know, they'll keep in touch with you and keep posting it.
So, but it's been cool, man. It's just – you know, it's funny because when you tell people that you're on a – like, I don't know how many comedy doors, you know, being on a soap opera opens.
Yeah.
So, you know – So it's nice to be on this new Netflix show, American Vandal, that's coming out, because it's comedy. I play a football coach who sleeps with all the moms. So,
I mean, you're going to get to show all your different traits, but actually, I mean, yeah, maybe a soap opera star doesn't really get to open comedy doors, but you know what it is? It's money doing what you love.
Yeah,
it's getting, and you know what that is? That's freedom.
Yeah.
That means that you get to focus all your time on acting and stand-up, and you're free at night. So walk me through, like, a day of when you worked on Young and the Restless. So how many days a week would you shoot?
It depends. It depends on your storyline.
It depends on the script, how often you're in it
and,
that week.
And like I was, it would be like, I'd be working on, you know, it depends on how many episodes I'd be in that week.
Yeah.
We shoot an episode to an episode a half a day. And so they shoot, I believe, 6 episodes in 4 days. We work from Tuesday to Friday. And so, you know, when you're doing, you know, that much dialogue, like you'll have, I've had some days where I've had like 60 pages all in one day.
Wow.
And you get about one take.
So what is that? 2 episodes, 60 pages?
Yeah, it's about that. Like I've had like maybe 2, 2.5, depends on, you know, depends on how much you're shooting that day. Cause sometimes they'll stack it all up on one day.
Yeah.
And sometimes they spread it out over a couple days. It's just, you know, just depends on, you know, scheduling and location, or you know, how they want to shoot it. But
so let's say you're filming that day. What time is the call time?
It depends. Like, let's say if I'm on the great thing about being on a soap opera is that if your scenes are all in the same place, like let's say all my scenes are at the doctor's office, so we'll shoot all those scenes back to back. So if I have an early call time, I'll be out of there. Sometimes I'd get in there at 7. I'd be out of there by 12.
Oh wow!
By noon.
I always wondered, like, you always just would pop in at the open mics afterward. And
but then some days I'd have longer days. Yeah. Like if I'm on both stages that day, then sometimes I'll have like a long day. I'll be at work from like 7 to 7. But that's not, you know, sometimes 7 to 5.
And then you got to go home and memorize lines.
That's what takes the time is memorizing all that dialogue. You know, I spend hours upon hours standing.
I can't imagine.
I just sit there and look in my bathroom mirror, just staring, just saying my lines over and over again. So
I always felt like the bathroom mirror was the best workspace.
It really
is. I'm serious. That when I was doing stand up and stuff, and I would practice jokes of it, like before I go out, I'd practice it in front of the mirror, or even if I was doing an acting part, I'd do that too. Just
sure,
because it's not just memorizing the lines. You want to make sure you look cool when you're doing it.
Yeah, and you can see what you're doing, and you're talking to yourself, and you're trying to like work through it and stuff.
I did that in the beginning of stand up when I first started stand up. I would talk to myself in the mirror and go over and make sure I remember everything in my head.
Yeah,
I kind of stopped doing it for stand up because it made me seem like really rehearsed. First on stage, I thought. Right. I just got really like used to just fucking going up there.
Yeah.
But now that I'm like starting to break into the acting world for the first time in my life, I do it. For that, like a couple times I've, you know, for the movie that Kevin and I just shot, I would just be like practicing the mirror.
That's it, man.
And I go back and look at like test
scenes.
So funny
because one of the scenes is you talking to yourself in front of the mirror.
Yeah, one of the scenes really? Is me actually talking to myself in the mirror.
So that was okay to practice in front of the
Was it like a taxi driver moment where you're like, you talking to me?
A little bit, I guess.
Are you talking to me? You must be talking. You're not talking to me. Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Like, bro, that's not even in the script. Just like, I just like,
I know myself. Just, yeah, I just love Dexter.
So cool, I've known Sean since, well, I don't want to say since he started stand up, because
not
you
bad.
Yeah, about, but it, like, consistently started, like, same as Kevin. I know Kevin since, like, since he moved out here and started stand up. And I've known you since you, like, first started coming to open mics at HaHa.
Yeah, that's where I met you for the first
time. Yeah, you
probably know him at HaHa all the time, man.
So you, so I, yeah, that was like the same time that Dean Del Rey started. Like the same exact time.
Yeah.
That was crazy, man. It'd be like you, me, Dean, and like fucking Dean's doing big things. So like, so, but prior to that, if I'm not mistaken, you had done stand-up off and on again.
Yeah, I was doing a lot. I was doing workshops. I was doing like those comedy workshops.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really putting the time in. Like I, you know, like I eventually started doing when you saw me coming around. So those first couple years were just me doing like a workshop, and then like I do like a show at the end of the 6 weeks.
Yeah.
I wasn't really hitting the open mics and doing all this. I would do it a little bit, you know. But so I was just doing like those workshops just to kind of figure out like technique, how to hold a mic, you know, how to like punch up some jokes and stuff like that.
Real
you know,
basics,
real basic
shit.
Stuff. But they were great, and I did it with Greg Dean. Mm-hmm. I did those Greg Dean workshops, and they were great. Everybody was cool. But really, where you start to learn the most doing stand up is just by getting up.
It's
all
just
time.
Doing it.
You got to be up on stage.
Just
all
like
time.
Anything else, you can't learn to drive a car from fucking reading a book. You know
exactly, man. So, but you know, all that stuff helped out, and you know, now you just continue to grow by getting on the stage as much as you can.
Of course, yeah.
You know, the challenge is always like. You know, you start to get. I've started to get about like 45 minutes of material that like really works, and now after having success with a show, you know, doing stand up, it's all about, you know, taking a risk at writing new material now.
Exactly.
You get comfortable.
Yeah.
You get comfortable with that material that you've had for so long, and I'm like, all right, now I got this, and so now I just got to like push myself to kind of come up with new stuff.
Exactly.
That's a point that I'm at right now. Like I'm like, now that our movie is done, it's just I can start doing that set. It's just that was why I took a long break too, because I'm like, I was sick of doing the same stuff, and it was right around the time that I was starting our production company. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, listen, I either got to put all my focus in the production company or just doing stand up. And so far the production company is like working out so much better. And now I can get to the point where I'm ready to start getting back up there and building up a whole new set. And it's kind of serious, scary when you have to come up with a whole brand new set from scratch when you've been working on one for so long.
But if you're not feeling scared, then something's wrong.
Yeah, that's right. If you're not scared,
right?
You don't love it.
If you feel comfortable, you're doing something wrong.
Right.
Like, don't get me wrong. When you're doing a paid gig and you know you have to do a lot of time and you feel comfortable and you're doing your shit that works, that's fine. But, like, all week long when we live in L.A., Monday through Thursday, and you're going up and you're doing rooms, bro, you better be fucking feeling vulnerable.
Yeah.
That's true.
Right?
Well, that always just ends up giving, like, the best performance, too, because, like, it kicks your adrenaline in. You know what I mean? Like, you start going, all of a sudden, it's, like, the best high on stage once they start laughing because you were so nervous.
Dude, I did a new joke the other day. Like, I have been working on a couple of new things, like, for the last 2 weeks, and I keep going to open mics, and I keep doing, like, little rooms, bar shows, and hitting it. And last week, I did it at the Ice House. And stage two were sold out, opening for Joey Diaz, two-man show. I went up there, did 25. He goes up there and does an hour, right?
Yeah.
I went out there, fucking murdered it with my usual stuff. I don't want to fucking drop the ball when I'm, you know, opening for Joey and I had to do a half hour or whatever.
Sure, sure.
But I snuck one new one in between, killed it, and then I closed. Big risk.
Whoa.
I closed with
a new one.
Oh, and they ate it up, dude. That's the best feeling ever.
That's amazing. Let me ask you something. If it didn't go well, were you going to pull something else out of your pocket to close with?
No.
No?
No, because I ran out of time. Okay. Because I told...
Don't piss off the club, man.
Yeah, the dude goes like, you know, or Joey goes, go up there and do 25, and I told the dude, light me at 20, and you get a five-minute light. And like, he was like new, he was a sweet kid, but he running the light, but he would turn the light on and then turn it off. I hate when clubs do that.
Yeah.
Turn the light on and just fucking
just
leave it on.
Yeah. Why do they do that?
They think that they turn it on, turn it off, and they think that like, okay, you saw the light, and they don't want to keep it on the whole time. They don't want to like have a reflection or have something
distract. Why is
maybe
that?
Some comics don't want a distraction or something, but like how do you know they saw it? Just fucking leave the light on.
Yeah.
I'll remember.
I can't stand that, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he fucking so finally, like, after I was like, okay, this feels like longer than 25. It's a little room. I just yelled over him, like,
"Yeah,
where am I at, man? Did you light me?" And he goes, "Yeah, I lit you a little bit ago."
Oh, shit.
And I was like, "All right, fuck, I got to end with this one." And I just threw the new bit out there. Now, if it hadn't worked, mm-hmm. I probably was out of time to throw a quick one out.
Did you ask that in front of, like, into the mic? Hey, where am I at on time? Did you
light me? I said, "Did you light me yet?" And he went, "Yep." And I went, okay, let me just do that one more. And I said to the crowd, I go, all right, guys, I'll do one more. I got the fuck out of here. But here's the thing. I had been killing it the whole set to where I could have ended on a bomb.
Yeah, it didn't matter.
And you could have said, yeah, you know what? Fuck
exactly.
it.
Yeah, yeah, I would have been like, yeah, I had a good ride. And at the end, if it didn't land, at the end, I could have said, like, well, guys, I threw a new one out there. Thanks for listening. You know what I mean? I had a great set the whole time.
Listen, it would have been like watching a really good movie with a shitty ending. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why the hell did they have that? I'm so mad now because it was awesome.
But I just, the last joke just really just took me out of it.
Dude, I did a joke once where I didn't even plan on doing a joke. It's not even a joke. It was also at the Ice House like 3 weeks ago. And then Big Room, though, also sold out. And I fucking went up there and I opened with something that's not even a joke. I just opened on a rant. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I started to talk about something and this just popped in my head. And I just greenlit it in my brain and just said it. Crowd laughed. It was a great intro for me to get into my bit. It's fine. Killed the whole set.
Mm-hmm.
Afterward, this girl comes up to me and she goes, because here's what I said. I fucking was around the audience and I was like, you know, it's fucking like a weeknight. We're out of the house. Like, you guys, you know what I mean? Isn't it great to be out of the house? You're not at home watching. The first show that popped in my head was Chopped on Food Network. So you're not home watching a rerun of Chopped? Like, we're fucking out having a good time, right? That's just my intro, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then when I thought that, I thought to myself, sometimes I always think about the judges on Chopped. Do you ever watch that show, The Cooking Show?
Not really. No.
I watch a lot of Food Network.
As soon as you said the title, I knew exactly what it was,
exactly.
And I've never seen it.
And then as soon as I saw that people laughed when I said it, I went like, they know the show. Let me see if I can fuck around with this.
Yeah.
So I went in there and said, like, man, that Indian chick who judges. And I said, like, she always says shit like, oh, like, this food is not to my standard. I did that, and I moved the head around and shit like that. And then everybody laughed. And I said, like, I hate when she says that. I go, because, bitch, you're fat. That's what I said. The Indian chick on the Food Network who judges food is fat.
Wait a second, hold on a second. Aren't you supposed to be heavy?
That's what I was saying. Wouldn't they be the best judges?
When people say, I don't like to take food, like, if my waiter's fat, I'll ask him what he likes on the menu. No, I hate when people say that. That doesn't make sense to me.
Well, I've never heard anybody say that.
People always say, like, whatever, if the waiter is fat, I'll say, what do you like? Because he must know. People think that.
I think it's, you always want a fat cook. You want, like,
because,
yeah.
Like, what, they're
you want
eating
heavy, you want
fat, a fat cook.
Because you
want not a fat waiter, because he's going to eat your food on the way out.
Let me tell you something.
I want a cook who's, like
here's what
like
I
he's
said.
Eating a bunch of meals, yeah. Man.
Like, he's cooking for himself, but then he realizes he has to give it to somebody else.
His food is so good, he has to eat it. You know what
yeah. Mean? Like, no, he wouldn't be a chef. No one's ever getting the food to try it.
Yeah.
No, my logic is like, listen, you ever see those portions, like, of fine dining? They're tiny portions. And they're usually, even if they're, like, red meat and shit, it's usually like stuff that's pretty healthy and organic and good for you, like top chefs,
right?
Like on the Food Network. So if this bitch is fat, you know that. This is what I said on stage too. I said, you know that as soon as they go cut, she goes, "Where's the food truck?" You know what I mean? I said, like, you don't get fat from eating gourmet food. You get fat from McDonald's, right? And that's what I said. Everybody was laughing, and then I did like a half hour, fucking killed the set. Then afterward, this girl came up to me. She goes, "Do you have a minute for a fan?" Because, like, all these people were, like, taking pictures, and I was, like, telling me, like, they had a fun time and stuff. Yeah. And this girl goes, "Do you have, like, a minute?" And I go, "Yeah, sure. Hey, what's going on?" She goes, I'm a fan of yours as of today because you are so fucking funny, and I want to keep in touch with you, all this shit like that. She goes, "I just want to tell you that right out the gate, when you called a woman fat, I was out."
Yeah.
She goes, "I was done."
Yeah.
I went, "This guy's an asshole, and I just wasn't a fan." Mm-hmm. And she goes, "You might not want to open with that joke." And I go, "It's not a joke. I just I just was talking." I went, like, you know,
"It's not a joke. It's just how I feel."
Here's the thing about
I'm an asshole.
I was trying to write material on stage. If something would have clicked, then later on I can go back and I can edit and see what worked and what didn't.
Well,
I was just riffing, you know.
Look, man, I mean, yeah, sure. I mean, it's like I never, like, I don't really, like, call people fat.
Yeah.
You know? So maybe you don't want to, like, say...
Maybe you don't want to open with it.
Maybe you don't want to open with it. Maybe it's like... Maybe it's you know...
In hindsight, I probably should have just blurted
said
that out.
Said heavy set? She's heavy set.
Like, yeah, well, I don't call people fat, but
I
call myself fat.
Bitch, you're fat.
Yeah.
But you just gave me a really good idea, though. Like, these cooking shows should not do gourmet shit anymore. It should be like a food truck cooking show. It's we just like you got 2 minutes to make a greasy burrito.
We should do a stoner's cooking show.
Yeah.
I'd just be like, what's around? Make scrambled eggs and like Taco Bell hot sauce.
Dude,
like,
I was
that's what should be in the basket. Like Taco Bell hot sauce and like some fucking Chipotle leftover tortilla chips.
My first year out here was like so bad, like because I didn't make any money at all. And you remember Calvin, my old roommate?
Yeah.
We used to just like sometimes we would just look for the extra food in the cupboard and we would just make something. Like I had a peanut butter and barbecue sauce sandwich.
And peanut butter and barbecue sauce.
But don't knock it, man.
Was it honey barbecue at least?
No, it wasn't. Peanut butter and barbecue sauce sandwich. And I shit you not, I thought it was going to be awful, but I ate the whole thing.
Really?
I don't know why. I don't know why I talked about that, but yeah, I was maybe. Just like, you know.
I mean, when was the last time you'd had a meal?
It was a long time, man. I lost a lot of weight my first year.
That reminds me of the movie The Terminal with Tom Hanks. Have you guys ever seen that? When like the foreigner gets stuck in between.
Oh yeah.
He's stuck at the airport for like 6 months, and he's making sandwiches out of crackers and mustard and ketchup. So fucking funny.
Man.
But yeah, man, you gotta make sacrifices sometimes when you're a comic. You're just fucking hungry. You're just starving.
Well, I think that look. So were you talking about? We're talking about how like you're set. Like you just said something.
Yeah, like it does. Off the cuff, great to just kind of like, and it works.
It
feels great. But that's the thing. You gotta feel like you're taking a risk.
Yeah.
You can't always feel like so confident because you're doing the same jokes that you always do.
Yeah.
I'm not going to mention any names, but a friend of ours recently had some comedy that came out on television, and I watched it. I hadn't seen him on stage in a very long time, personally, myself. And when I watched it, they did the same stuff that I've seen them do for the last 10 years.
Yeah. Well, that's all right. I mean, that's kind of what...
But not everybody else has seen it.
Everybody else has seen it. I mean, you know...
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You but know what I mean? I feel like you can kind of tell like after a while. And I feel like when you know the punchlines, you also kind of rush through it and the timing's off.
Yeah.
Especially when you're on television. A lot of people don't know. I've actually been meaning to talk about this on the podcast. So let me bring this up really quick. Because I get a lot of people that go – and comics too. Comics are love to criticize other comics, right?
Right.
So everywhere I hear it, people go like, man, that special sucked. Louis C.K.'s new special sucked dick. Here's what I want to say something to people. Okay. When you go to see someone live – in a theater or in a comedy show, it's very different than watching it on television.
Yeah.
Because when a comic is on stage, he's playing to the timing in the room.
Right.
And when you're on TV, it doesn't translate. Especially when these guys film something, they do a big theater. Now, big theaters, you got to play to like the first 20 rows and play off that timing. Because if you're waiting for like the timing for like the laughs to travel all the way back to the big theater and up in the balcony and then come back to you, mm-hmm. you're going to have a lot of slow pauses.
Yeah.
Your timing is way off. So, I mean, I saw Louis live do that same hour mm-hmm. like a couple weeks before he filmed it, and he was fucking a beast. It was amazing. And then people go watch a special. So I just like before you guys criticize specials, go like, "Yeah, that's fucking wasn't funny."
Listen, man, you don't
understand how much you have to change your timing.
For theaters. I'm not a kind of person who criticizes a lot of other comics, man, because if you're out there doing it and you get to a situation where you get on you get your own special on Comedy Central or whatever the fuck it is, you've done some shit.
Yeah.
And you know, I have nothing. My hat's off to anybody that does.
Yeah, you're right.
Man.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you got your own shit to worry about besides worrying about somebody else.
You know, and you know, I think Dave Chappelle, like those, I liked his specials.
Bro, I loved his fucking new specials.
I thought they were great, man.
I thought the first one was fucking phenomenal, and the second one was good.
But there you are criticizing.
Well, I mean,
I'm just kidding.
I'm comparing him to him, though.
Like, yeah.
If he would have released the second one only, I would have been like, "That was awesome." But he released the first one, and I was like, "That was even more awesome." You know what I mean?
That was cool, man.
Those new Chappelle ones were fucking great.
Yeah, man.
I mean, Sean, you got several TV shows. You're filming movies. You're doing stand up. You're working on, like you said to me, about taking risks on stage and not being comfortable writing your own shit. When do you have time to stop and criticize somebody else? Unless, here's the only time you're going to criticize somebody else. If you're going to see something that they're doing wrong, and just keep it to yourself and go, I will learn not to do it like
right.
that.
Right. Yeah, and you know, look, man, I'm not a guy who goes after crowds. like when crowds aren't laughing.
I don't do that shit.
And, it's a pet peeve of mine. But like, you know, hey, look, man. Sometimes it happens, and people do it. And I've done it a couple times where I've gone after, and every time that I've like gone after like someone in the audience, I'm like, man, that was a mistake. It does nothing, man. It's like if somebody's not laughing at something that you're doing, it's something you're doing.
Yeah.
It's like you're not reaching them for somehow, and you can't be like, man, you guys suck. That was funny, like, you know.
Mm-hmm. Or if there's just not enough people in the crowd where it doesn't generate that constant laughter, it's like, oh man, it's dead tonight. Well, these people came out to see you, so make sure that they.
I've been in an audience before, and like hearing laughs based off the small audience or the in a large room, and then comics aren't hearing the laughs, so they're going like, oh, you guys fucking suck. It's like, bro, just do your material. They're digging it. This is as much energy as you're gonna get out of this room. Exactly. So just give them a show.
Yeah, man.
I did a show last week, and I was supposed to be the headliner. That, you know, it was way out of town, bro, in some fucking whatever town. I don't want to say where it is, because in case someone gets back to someone who knows who I'm talking about.
Right.
So I won't even say where it was.
Right.
I did a show. I was supposed to be the headliner. They go, I will pay $75 to come out and do 40 minutes. I'm like, cool.
Right.
I go out. This well-known comic pops in, and he's not super famous, but he's well-known. He's been on some TV shows.
Does he run the light?
He's a veteran. Does he run the light? I don't know. I've never heard that rumor about him. He didn't this night that I know of.
Right.
But he pops in, and then I'm like, oh, fuck. He's going to want to go up like whenever he wants. But he was nice enough to go like, hey, man, I honestly don't mind letting you go first. And then the booker was like, yeah, you do 20. I'm like, perfect. I still get paid the 75? They're like, yeah. And I'm like, all right, fuck yeah. I got to work less, and I still get to pay the same amount.
Yeah.
It was a cool deal. So I went up. And it was a room where it was like a bar type show thing.
Right,
and it was a big room with a big stage that normally has big bands.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there was maybe only 15 people.
Right.
And everybody kept getting off stage going like, oh, oh, bro, it's a tough room. They're fucking assholes, man. Shit like that. So I went out there, and you know what? They were cool because they were listening. I'm not going to say I was getting laughs right away because I wasn't.
Yeah.
But they were cool because they were listening. Right. They weren't sitting there like talking to each other, bored. Oh man, they're being assholes. No, they were listening, and then before you know it, 3 minutes later, I got a laugh, and then like a couple. Then you know, I saw. And then by the fifth minute, I got them.
Yeah.
Now they're fucking roaring, and we're talking about 15 people. So roaring is like not that.
Right.
We're not talking about.
They're laughing.
They're little lion cub roars.
Right, yeah.
But they were like hitting their knee. Like I fucking got them, bro.
Yeah.
But you have a different approach when it comes to that. When that doesn't work, like when you're on stage and you're not getting the laughs that you want. People come off and they'd be like, man, that's a tough crowd. Whenever, like, I've seen that happen because I've done shows with you when there's not a lot of people in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And you get up and you do the best that you can and you come off. And instead of you saying, man, that's a tough crowd, you're just like, I didn't do that. I didn't do that great. But it was always onto yourself instead of the crowd.
Yeah.
But also something to keep in mind, too, is it's so weird, like, it's a different experience on the stage and in the crowd because when you're on the stage, the lights are in your eyes and you don't really get the ambience of their emotion like when they're sitting there, because I'll be sitting in the crowd like in the small crowd and I'll see you go up there and it's a quiet crowd that they're not rolling laughing because there's not a lot of them in there, but every single one of them, they're looking up at you and they're smiling and they're just like it's one of those type of things, but you don't see that when you're up there, and so you feel like it's bad, and I'm like, no, they're good. And then I would get up on stage and I would feel the exact same thing, because like once you're on stage, you don't really get to feel what the audience is feeling because it's like so small, you know what I mean?
Very rare circumstances will I blame the crowd. I mean, like, unless they've been there for a 5-hour show. You know what I mean? And they've been ear raped,
or just being disrespectful, just
and hecklers. Yeah. Like that's a different story. And even then, like you said, I really don't like when guys go after the crowd. But like even hecklers, I will give them the chance to not have to deal with the worst part of it. Even a heckler, you can go like something quick, move on. Something quick, you know what I mean?
Nah, thing is just to ignore them because that gets right under their skin.
Ignore them if you can.
It gets right under their skin.
Ignore them if you can. I always try to ignore.
Dude, I try to ignore.
Pretend you didn't hear it. But I always try. Like, that's my first move, pretending to hear it. But then if it's so obvious that like the whole room's like, you're not even gonna address it.
Right. Yeah. Sooner or later you gotta address it. Sometimes
I'll even say like, that was funny. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. And that's what.
All you can do.
Shut the fuck up.
But like, I hate when people like fucking. They're so sensitive to it that as soon as one person goes like, you know, like even like a positive heckle, like what, like they're responding to your story or something like that. People go like, don't talk during comedy show. People go,
it's so
bothers the fuck out of me. So that's what this guy did that night. So he was a nice guy. He said, I can go first. So I went out there. I got the room, right? So afterwards, he goes out there. But he had the mentality, I think. This is my opinion was. I think he had the mentality of like, it's a small room. He's a bigger name dude.
Right.
He probably just wanted to work out some shit. That's why he was doing it. And he probably was a little annoyed that I went up and I fucking killed it in this really small room.
Right.
And he went up there just bitter from the beginning. And was doing his set really like with the phone out. You know, scrolling through his phone, looking at notes. And then telling us, but it's fine. He's working out
whatever.
Stuff. But then a dude, who I guess maybe recognized him from somewhere, was recording him. And then he goes, he didn't say like, hey, could you please not record me? I really appreciate that and stuff. But he didn't even say, he just went like, are you fucking recording me, bro? Like, don't fucking record me. And made it real awkward in the room.
Yeah,
and I had
we
just had a whole awkward room. I just fucking got him woken up. And now he just made it real awkward again.
Yeah.
And he's just like, bro, the fuck, you fucking recording me? He's like, put the phone down. Now, if you respond to a male like that, put the fucking phone down. Out of pride, a man won't put the phone down.
He'll pick up his friend's phone.
So
now I got you.
So what did the guy do?
So he kept trying to record him a little bit more because you're funny. Your girlfriend or whoever the fuck it is, you're not going to go, like,
well,
put your fucking phone down. You're not going to put it down right
but
away.
But not only that, but then you also have this guy on camera going,
put your fucking phone down.
All you got to do. That's some funny shit. That's some funny shit to post.
You just
somebody like sitting there yelling at you going, put your fucking phone down.
That's an excellent gift. You know what I mean?
Ask politely. Hey, I really appreciate it if you didn't record this. And later on, he did explain why. He said, like, this is new shit I'm working on, and I don't want it to get out on the internet before it's done. I mean, he explained himself, but not until after he went off on the dude.
Yeah.
And then he, like, really was a dick to him. Like, yeah, you fucking girlfriend and shit. Like going after him as if he heckled. And then he went, well, this is what happens when you interrupt a comedy show, bro. And I'm like, he didn't interrupt you.
He
was recording you, and you could have just said, please stop.
Yeah.
Like, I just, anyway, it just fucking pissed me the fuck off.
It would have been funny if the guy was another comic filming him saying, this is what I should not do when I'm on stage.
Yeah.
Those quiet comments that you're talking
about. Bro, I've had, the other day, I always go, when I go with Joey, and even if I'm not going on, I go with him to spots sometimes, and I record his sets, because we write together later on, I was in the main room a couple months ago, and I was sitting there, like, with my, I never record him visually, like video, I do audio only. And I'm sitting there, but, like, you can see on my phone the time's moving, like, fast. You know, the clock's spinning. And fucking somebody comes up to me and goes, like, hey, bro, you can't be I was recording Joey's set. You can't be fucking recording Joey's set, bro. You fucking stealing jokes? Because a fan would make a video, I guess.
Right.
And, like, a comic would make an audio.
He's
like, you fucking stealing fucking Joey's jokes? And I turn around, and normally I want to get, like, pissed. Like, that's happened to me a couple times before. And I went, like, no, he asked me to do it. But you never want to be a dick right away. So I just said, no, he asked me to do it. I turn around. It's fucking Dane Cook, bro.
Oh,
it was
really?
Dane Cook.
Are
and
you
he
serious?
Had a hat, like a Boston hat, like, really fucking low.
Yeah.
And then I just went, like, no, Mr. Cook. I work for Joey
Diaz.
Did
you call him Mr. Cook?
What?
You pussy!
I pushed it out. Because I turned around and went, like,
you
should have
called him a different name.
Mr. Cook.
I turned around aggressive. I was like, bro, he asked me to do it. And then when I saw
what
him,
is he, your friend's
like,
dad?
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Mr. Cook.
Listen.
Mr. Cook, I'll have your daughter home by a reasonable hour. Mr. Cook. Hi,
yeah.
Mr. Cook. Good
Mr.
to see you.
Mr.
How's
Brooks. I mean, Mr. Cook.
Mr. Cook. Mr. Cook, I'm sorry. My homework. I didn't do my homework last night. Like, what the hell are
Listen,
you talking?
Bro.
Calling it
I'm
Mr.
a fucking
Cook. He's like,
comedy.
What are you doing? Are you stealing my idea?
I'm a comedy professional, bro.
Dude, by the way. When you called him Mr. Cook, did he look at you funny? Was he just like...
No, he went...
I was at a comedy club and somebody went, Mr. Kerrigan, I'm sorry, Mr. Kerrigan, I'd be like, who the fuck are you talking to? We're at a comedy club. Mr. Kerrigan, aren't you a comic? Like, get a hold of yourself. Have some self-respect.
Bro, I think it's respectful and courteous like a legendary comic.
To call him Mr. Cook?
What do you call him, Dane? I don't know him like that. And I'm
so,
a fucking... He's like a veteran comic.
How about
bro.
Why do you have to say his name at all? Why don't you just say, hey, man, hey, bro?
Because I wanted to acknowledge that I recognized who he was and I didn't mean to give him shit.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Why?
And I just wanted to be respectful.
But why?
First time I met Jimmy Schubert, I called Mr. Schubert and they were best friends, so I called him Jimmy.
Hey, but he's the one that came at you. He came at you hard.
Yeah, but
man.
Shouldn't that be like a security guard's job at the club?
Well, he was like being a comic who was looking out for Jimmy. But right away, he got like super
cool.
You could
be like, hey, bro, I'm doing this for Joey.
Right away, he went like, oh, okay, cool, bro. And he actually grabbed my phone and went, sorry, Joey, in the audio. Yeah, he was
funny.
Cool as hell.
Yeah.
I always think
well,
like,
then,
if you meet Jim Carrey, you're going to go, what up, Jim? Or you're going to say Mr. Carrey?
I don't know.
I would still call them by their first name. I mean,
If it's in a comedy club, I think that there's no reason to use someone's last name. It's like it should be a universal.
It's not a formality.
If it's somebody
type
that I should look up to, you know? It's somebody who's a veteran or like a legend. I feel like I should, or who's been doing it way longer than me. I feel like I should call them respectfully, like Mr. whatever their last name is, acknowledging that they're way higher level than I am.
Okay.
And then once ask me, and once I get to know them, they say like, hey, or if they say like, hey, just call me Sean.
Yeah.
You know, well,
you know,
it's
funny.
A different story.
You know, it's funny. I did a Tyler Perry movie called Single Moms Club, and Tyler Perry has everybody on set call him Mr. Perry.
Oh, wow.
Really?
And then when he gets to know you better, or he likes the stuff you're doing, it's like he dons you. He you know, he
knights you.
Yeah, he knights you, and he's like, call me Tyler.
Oh, wow.
Like when I was doing the movie, you know, I did a bunch of stuff, and he saw that I, like, you know, he came up to me afterwards and was like, I like that stuff you improvised. That was pretty funny. I like that. Keep that up.
Oh, cool.
And so then the next time I worked with him on a, we were doing another scene, and the next, it was like a couple days later, I was like, Mr. Perry, and he goes, call me Tyler.
And you're like,
I was like,
now let's just say, you guys, let's just say no one told you
that
shit.
That wasn't in a comedy club.
But you're talking to a film producer on a set. It's the same equivalent of talking to a legendary comic.
Where the rules were explained before you got into
any
type
of... Okay, but let's just say,
by the way,
let's just say no one said that to you.
Okay, well, somebody did say it to me.
And you just went up to him and you said, like, yo, Tyler, thanks for having me on set. Not that you would be a douche.
I never would come up to him and be like, yo, Tyler, what's up,
but what if you... But, you know, what if you...
Set, bro.
But it's so funny because Augustino is the type of person... You are the type of person that would have that internal battle, like, when you're in there, like, what do I call him? Mr. Cook? Like, you are the person that would worry
so
much...
You say, hey, Tyler, man, I really appreciate you having me on your set, and I'm honored to do this movie. And what if he was a dick, which he's not, because obviously, according to you, he was really nice to you.
Yeah.
What if he was like, fucking, it's Mr. Perry. Somebody get this guy off my set. Now, let's just
say. I don't think he's going to fire me.
But
you don't know. Well, you never do.
Like,
you never do.
So you should always be respectful and humble is my, like, listen, I'm going to call him Mr. Perry until he tells me otherwise.
Right. Sure. And that's exactly what I did. But I was also, you know, people clue you in on that when you're on set. You're like, hey, just, you know, you might want to call him Mr. Perry. That's, you know, everybody calls him Mr. Perry.
Yeah.
Until he tells you otherwise.
Yeah.
But that's a different thing. Because when you met Dane Cook, you were on neutral ground. I'm on his set.
Yes, that's
so
true.
It's different.
I'm on neutral ground.
No, but like you're out at a like a public place, a comedy club, where you're doing a favor for your buddy who's on stage, and he approaches you out of nowhere. You don't know who, like, who's talking to you or approaching you like that. So I feel that you're much on a like more equal footing, as opposed to like if you're on a set when you're on someone's set. Like Tyler Perry was the producer and the director of the movie and wrote it, and he's like the boss. He's like running shit, and so it's like I'm there. Like, of course I'm gonna call him Mr. Perry because it's his.
Well, I don't think it's more of like... Movie. Well, I mean, for something like that, I don't even think it's... Just the way you explain it, producer, director, writer, all that stuff. You have a million people trying to talk to you all day.
Yeah.
And so you have to listen by your ear. If they're calling me Tyler, that means I know I got to respond to them right away. If they're calling me Mr. Perry, it's probably something that I can... It can wait for a second. Or that. It's like one of those things. Not like you would get mad.
So, Kevin, if you ran into fucking Michael J. Fox somewhere, you would not call him Mr. Fox?
No, I would not call him Mr. Fox.
You'd call him Michael?
Yeah.
I mean...
I don't know, man.
I
ran into him on the street... Or if I was at a comedy club,
work with, like, you got a job working on his.
Well, now you're talking
like
about something different.
Yeah, but see,
it depends on what he wants to be called.
Look, man, if I meet somebody, I'm like, hey, what's going on, man? I'm Sean. You know.
Oh well, for sure.
I'm not gonna be like, you know, hey, Mr. So and So. I don't know, man. It's a fine line. But anyways,
regardless,
I'm gonna be respectful. Regardless,
yeah, I mean, like,
you don't call people sir. And someone asks you a question like, hey, are you allowed to fucking record that? You go, yes, sir, I am. You don't say that to be respectful?
Not really.
I don't think so.
I don't have to.
You guys are a bunch of fucking...
Rebels.
Savages.
You know?
I don't care. I mean, if somebody's saying, hey, you, pointing at you, I'm not going to address you as sir. I'm just going to be like, what the fuck do you want?
Look, man, my dad, like, I'll talk to my dad. I'll show respect to my dad and stuff. But, of course. Like, this guy's
you call your dad, dad like, Mr. Cook. I'm just kidding. You call your dad,
Mr.
sir.
Mr. Kerrigan. Hello, Mr. Kerrigan.
You call him dad.
No, I say dad.
Yeah,
no,
of course.
Yes,
like everybody
sir.
Else.
Yes, sir. Yeah. No, like, you know, but, hey, man, just try to show respect
for
people, period.
Introduced me to Dane Cook and said, like, hey, Dane, this is my friend Augustino. I would have said, like, you know, hey, I'm Augustino. Nice to meet you. But no one introduced me to him. I just said, like, yes, Mr. Cook.
No, yeah. You should have said Miss Cook.
Thank you,
just
sir.
Just to stir the pot a little bit. Miss Cook. I'm sorry, Miss Cook,
yeah.
But I'm here recording Joey.
I'm sorry, good luck, Chuck. Can you... hey, fucking...
Yeah.
What was the other movie did? Hey, Employee of the Month. Yeah, you don't work here. Yeah. I can record whoever I want to record.
Mr. Yeah. Brooks.
Mr. Brooks.
Yeah. Hey, back off.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
All right, Sean, tell me and Kevin really quick.
Yeah.
About the show. Was it called The Next Action Hero?
Next Action Star?
Next Action Star.
It was a TV show back in 2004. It was produced by Joel Silver. It was on NBC. And they auditioned people all over the country, like they do for American Idol.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought, and so then it came down to where they put all of us in a house after you audition, and they selected who they wanted on the show. Each week there were seven guys and seven girls, and each week you would have screen tests, and they. Each week they'd eliminate a guy and a girl, and until at the end there was only one guy left and one girl left, and those two got to star in their own action movie. And so I auditioned for it. I ended up winning the show.
Oh, that's awesome!
And yeah. And then it was awesome. Yeah. Till,
so you get
till,
in the house
till the reviews came out for the TV movie.
Oh really?
Yeah, the movie was called Bet Your Life. I should have called it Bet Your Career.
Oh,
you know,
really?
Because it was. I've talked about it a lot, but it's what led me to comedy because, you know, they thought the show was going to be as big as American Idol, and it obviously flopped. And then we did the movie, and I wasn't ready to carry my own action film. There's a lot that goes into carrying your own film. You have to be experienced.
Mm-hmm.
You can't skip any levels.
Yeah.
It's like all of a sudden you start out in comedy. You have a good 10-minute set, 5-10-minute mm-hmm. set, and all of a sudden somebody's like, hey, guess what? You're headlining next week.
Yeah.
And you're like,
oh, hey, here's your sitcom.
Oh, I got to come up with 45 minutes worth of material. You're not ready.
You're going to fail.
You're not ready for that.
And it's so setting yourself up for failure.
Yeah, so I just wasn't ready. I mean, look, I did a decent job in the movie, but, you know, I kind of fell on my face after that. But it humbled me and brought me to comedy. And thank God for those bad reviews, because I don't know that I'd be doing stand-up comedy the way I'm doing it now.
Why did it make you do stand-up,
though?
There you
go. There you go.
Because I'd always loved being in a party and telling funny stories to all my friends and making people laugh. And then I read Steve Martin's book called Born Standing Up.
Mm-hmm.
And I really – it was kind of like at a loss. I didn't know what to do with myself because I'd fallen on my face in this movie. I couldn't get hired in TV and film. I was shooting a lot of commercials, but I couldn't get hired in TV and film. And I was like, there's something more that I need to do. And there's a YouTube clip of me called I'm a Failure, where I talked all about failing
mm-hmm.
at this huge opportunity that I had. Because in a lot of ways, I felt like this was my one shot, and I completely blew it. And so being able to do comedy made me able to laugh at that and let it go. And so it stopped being a monkey on my back.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can move on from it. And so comedy, like, but none of that would have happened.
Yeah. And like, you're actually good at it.
Thank you, man.
I remember what you're fucking hilarious.
It's one thing to do it to just blow off steam and move on with it. You know what I mean?
But going through something like that, like it almost gives you more confidence for the future. It's like, man, if I can fucking handle that, I can handle another one. It's not going to kill you now, because now you know how to come back from that.
And now it's a different thing, because, you know, from being on the soap for 3.5 years, that's like actor's boot camp, because you get 1 to 2 takes at most.
Yeah.
Wow.
To do your scenes. And you got to come in there, you got to deliver. It's a fast-moving train. That show's been on the air for 43-plus years.
Damn, man.
Number one in daytime television for 28, number one in Canada, number one in France. I mean, it's Young and the Restless is the real deal. And if you can't keep up to their taping schedule and performance-wise and hit with the fans, they will get rid of you.
Yeah.
They will get rid of you. I've seen 14 different – I saw the 3.5 years that I was there, I saw 14 different actors come and go. Just because they sign you a contract doesn't mean they can't fire you whenever they want.
Yeah.
And so they keep that train moving. And it was a great learning ground for me. And so now – when I do stuff like the movie that I just shot in Columbus, Ohio, the horror movie, now it's like a whole different thing for me. Now I'm seasoned. I'm ready. Yeah. I've got my sword sharpened. You know,
it's like when you're younger, you're like, I thought I was ready then. Now, but I'm ready.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought I was ready then.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but now
it brings a sense of wisdom. Although, yeah, you know what
absolutely.
I mean.
Absolutely. And so I know what I'm doing now, and I'm thankful that you know, I've been given some opportunities to just keep expressing myself and my art, man. And
I think that the stand-up stage, the stage, will teach you timing.
Yeah,
that you will never learn in any acting class.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely, which has come in handy because you just did this fucking comedy series that's gonna come out on Netflix.
Yeah, it's coming out on September 15th. It's dropping on Netflix. It's called American Vandal, and it's gonna be hilarious.
Yeah, because like we've seen those. Go look up those shorts that we were talking about.
Yeah,
on
WoodheadEntertainment.com.
Are there any trailers for any of these yet?
They don't have a trailer for the movie they're still putting together.
Yeah,
We just finished shooting that, and they're gonna deliver that by the end of the year. But I don't know that there's any trailers yet for American Vandal, because you know the thing about Netflix is they don't really start advertising it until it's already on Netflix.
Did
you ever watch Stranger Things on Netflix?
No, I've never watched
that. That was like one of my favorite shows, but there was almost no advertisements for that at all. Right. I just remember when it went live and I didn't see billboards and nothing. All of a sudden, I just saw like, I'm like, this mustn't be that good. It wasn't advertised that well. I'm watching, and I'm like, that's the way Netflix does things. They barely advertise things.
Netflix has the best advertising space, and it's free. And all it is like whatever they're pushing that week or that month or whatever they feel they're confident in, when you turn on your Netflix, it's right there in your fucking face.
That's cool, yeah.
And every single time it opens up right there. It doesn't matter if you're going to scroll down and click on your usual The Office or Friends.
Yeah.
Well, you
always got to be like, boom, new Adam Sandler movie right in your fucking face.
Yeah. Is that what you do? Do you sit around and watch The Office on
Netflix? I fucking watch The Office.
Office, Parks and Rec.
I don't watch Parks and Rec.
I have them all set up.
Three go-to shows that I keep in my rotation that I fall asleep to because I can't sleep without television on in the background. So it's Everly's Raymond, The Office, and Seinfeld. I finish one, I just start over again.
I love Seinfeld, man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh god, dang it!
But
man,
dude, like that's the thing. Like, and here's the thing. Like, there's some stand-up comedians on Netflix. Like, they got a special. They're not huge names. Like, oh, Rogan's new special's out. Not like that. There's stand-up comics on there that were just like, you know, they're not as famous, and they'll pop up on the front screen, and like I know them because we know comics, and I'll just be like, oh shit, that guy got a fucking special,
right.
And they're like not even like big, but you can't miss it.
Yeah.
It's going to be up there for at least a day. And then Bill Burr's special is going to be up there all week. Every time you go to put on a show, it's going to fucking be there. It's the best advertising.
Yeah.
So, I'm telling you. The only thing I really see him advertise in advance is like Adam Sandler movies. And then I see them advertise in advance the Marvel stuff.
Right.
There was something else I was going to tell you. The only thing they advertised in advance was not even stand-up specials, bro.
Yeah.
Right? There was something else I was going to tell you. I just forgot.
Oh, I don't know, man. But
you know what it was? That show The Ranch with Ashton Kutcher
and Danny
Masterson, who were both in That 70s Show.
Yeah.
They fucking promoted the fuck out of that for a long time, thinking like, with these two, like That 70s Show, this is going to be a fucking hit. Dude, every time you turned on Netflix, it was like, in your face.
Yeah.
Did you watch it?
I've never seen an
episode. I saw a couple. It was really, it was kind of strange because it almost felt like they wanted a bigger show feel, but it was a very soundstage. Like it felt like it wanted to be bigger.
Like a soundstage.
It was a soundstage, but it, just the way that it was, like it felt like it should have been like an on location thing, like a lot of Netflix originals, we usually do. Yeah. It didn't feel like that, so it just felt like
I
didn't get it. I didn't understand why.
When you go to watch a show and your whole selling point is that they're two actors that were once together on a hit show, you go to watch it because you're a fan of that show and now you think this is going to be awesome. Right. So if it's a completely different style than the other show, like it's not gonna stick around.
Well, it's, you know, it's always tricky to, like, you know, I don't know, what is it? What's the word, like, to catch fire twice? You know what I mean? Like, the, you know, like,
you can't catch lightning in a bottle.
Is that, yeah, I guess that's what I don't know what the saying is. Well, you're fucking doing saying. It, bro. It's like a saying.
You can't
it's
get hit by lightning twice.
Lightning, fire, yeah, yeah, bottles.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, you're living
like
proof that you can,
some
Sean.
Metaphor.
Yeah,
some metaphor.
You are. You are, actually.
You're fucking living proof.
Well, we'll see, man. I'm really excited about this. On September 15th, it's going to drop on Netflix. It's called American Vandal. We got a lot of people that are saying good things about it. We're excited. Funny or Die was a part of it. Awesome. You know, they partnered with Netflix and CBS to make this, and
that's really cool.
So it's going to be cool, man. We're really looking forward to it.
Tell me about, so when you're in the house for the action, next action star right?
Star,
so you're
yeah.
in the house. So you said that every episode they would make you read a scene.
You'd screen test.
And then someone would get deleted each week, right?
Yeah.
So was that all they would make you do? Or would they make you actually do, like, action stunts?
We do, like, some stunt training.
Yeah.
We do some, like, acting. They'd show the acting classes that we did with Howard Fine. Mm-hmm. We did all kinds of, you know, just prepare for the scene and, like, certain things that we did. And then they'd show us we'd actually shoot it like we were shooting, like, a high budget action film, but we would shoot that scene like you were actually on set,
yeah,
in the scene, and you'd shoot it like it was an actual movie.
Yeah. And as the weeks went on, that would they have weeks, like, where they get more intense, where you have, yeah, to, like, flip and roll,
yeah,
and then stand up and,
well,
still do your line.
No, and then just, yeah, and then, like, the scenes got, you know, got longer,
yeah,
and there was more to them.
There's more time because you're,
yeah,
getting rid of people every week.
Exactly. And then, but the problem was with the show, with that show, Next Action Star, was they shot it like the real world.
Mm.
Whereas they showed a lot of drama in,
yeah,
the house,
oh,
between,
okay,
people arguing and stuff. They edited it like,
yeah,
the real world. So you saw all the stunt training, you saw the acting classes, and you saw the screen tests. But then,
yeah,
you also saw that bullshit in the house with people,
right,
arguing. And
it was
drama,
like MTV,
like,
style,
yeah, and it was
on,
like,
ABC.
Yeah, it was really. It was on NBC.
NBC, sorry.
And, but it's just, people didn't want to see that. People weren't tuning into that. People don't
right,
turn into American Idol for that shit. They turn in to see the singers,
the
stories,
the product that they're doing.
Yeah,
and
the judges criticize them.
And that's what they wanted to see. And the show fell short because of that.
I feel like it could have worked. I feel like this is a great idea for a show. I feel like it could have worked if they made it more like a Fear Factor,
mm-hmm,
but for actors.
Yeah.
With, like, really action and shit every week, and if they had, like, a host who was there with you the entire time, like the Joe Rogan type.
Yeah, we had a host. There was a lady named Tina Malibe who was the host.
But to be on set with you, like, while you're, and she'd be sitting there talking to you, okay, here's the scene. We've all done.
Oh, right, right.
And
yeah,
would they,
yeah,
all,
yeah,
do the same, all the,
yeah, sure,
contestants do the same scene?
Yeah, everybody.
And whoever
did
it better?
Everybody
see,
did
I feel
the
like
same
that
scene
would work.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know. Like, that's what I would do. And then,
but
like,
see,
the house thing.
How many seasons was the show?
It was one.
Just one season.
One season, and when it tanked, they pulled the plug on it, and
I feel like that's a great idea,
but,
dude.
But that being said, you know,
and then the movie would
have been better, yeah,
if the show was successful,
exactly.
You know, so yeah, I would want to see more of like a.
But see, we shot the movie before the show even came out, so so the series aired, and then the last week, you got to see the TV movie.
Yeah.
And so, but, you know.
I mean, whatever. It's in the fucking past.
Yeah,
but, I mean,
man.
What I'm,
yeah,
talking,
dude,
about, though, is that, so you mentioned that you did a YouTube video called Failure.
Oh, it's called I'm a Failure.
I'm a Failure.
It's,
that,
yeah,
seems,
it's
interesting.
Yeah, Sean Kerrigan, I'm a Failure. You can look,
I'm gonna,
it up.
I'm going to look it up, and I'll tweet it out with this podcast, too,
cool,
so people go, because, I mean, that's what you want to fucking, like, yeah, that's the thing you're going to tweet out, is,
yeah,
that I'm a Failure video? No,
yeah,
bro,
no.
Because that's what
I'm
people
very,
need to fucking hear.
I'm very excited about it, and that, when I did that, that's why it's still on YouTube right now. When I did that set, it was very early in my career. I was doing those workshops all the time. But, man, when I did that set, it was like I exercised all my demons, man.
Mm-hmm.
It was like over. It's like that thing, because for years, man, I felt like such a failure that I had this one opportunity to star in my own TV action movie, and I freaking blew it, man. I blew it. I fell on my face. I had a chance, to take that next step in my acting career, and I blew it, and that's how I felt for years, and I carried that around.
Was this something like when you say you blew it? Are you talking about your performance or just the movie as a whole?
Just my performance in the movie itself. Like, you know, just I could have done things like watching the movie now. It's like I can't even watch it because I could see things that I did.
Well, yeah, that
everybody has.
You've improved those. I was so trying much. To do too much. Yeah. And then other times I wasn't doing enough. It's just, you know what I mean? But it's just from an experience.
It's just like a comic watching old sets. You'd be like, oh, man, I can't believe. At the time, you thought you were the shit.
Yeah, exactly, man.
Like, I'll probably in like 5 years watch sets of myself now and think, oh, man, I was fucking awful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So, well, but, yeah.
I'm glad you got over that, though, man.
That's what people need to see is the I'm a failure videos.
Yeah, because that's like the recovering from that stuff.
Yeah, man.
It's the recovery.
Self-empowerment. There we go.
Well, yeah, dude. Man. See, they should fucking bring the reality show back as the host. That's a fucking show.
Yeah.
It's like this dude failed and admitted that he failed and fucking he didn't just, you know, crawl under a rock and cry about it. He came back out. Now he's got several movies.
Nah, you always going. Always keep going. Man. Always looking for the next thing, man. Just keep it going. Yeah. Like, I mean, he's fucking super talented. He's hilarious. I can't wait to see all the stuff that you were just filming. Yeah. I can't wait to see
it. You never know where the fuck things are going to lead to.
Where do you feel like what's the next step for you now? After the movie that you did and the series that you're just on for Netflix.
I mean, like, look, in all honesty, I'm ready to just start doing a lot of movies and a lot of TV. That's the goal.
Yeah. Take it as it comes.
Yeah, I'm ready for it. Now it's just about getting shit. It's all right, man. Just put that anywhere. it's just about just getting the right opportunity.
So
and the right place, the right time.
But everybody has like their like, especially if you want to be in movies, their dream type of movie to be in. So even if it's just genres.
Oh, good question.
What kind of do you see yourself as doing? Action, comedy, horror.
Well, I'd like to do comedy, but. I definitely want to. I definitely want to make up for that shitty action movie I did.
You'd be an action comedy, dude.
Yeah, I'd I would love that.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Like the fucking Channing Tatum, you know, in like a 21 Jump Street comedy.
Nah, but his own thing.
I'm just saying that I can see you in something like that with like, you know, the chubby dude sidekick who's funny, and then like fucking you, because fucking
are you pitching a movie right now?
We have the script right here. We're waiting. Yeah. That's why we wanted you on the podcast.
Let's
do it. It's called Big Guy Little Guy.
Yeah, guess which one am I? If you say no, remember we're on the air, and okay, you'll right look on, like a dude. Dick.
Right on, man.
Let's no, man. It. But yeah, I could see that. Yeah, for sure.
Well, cool, man. That's I just want to keep working, man.
Like you said, you never know what's going to come. I mean, you started as a fucking boxer.
I know. I was a professional boxer.
So professional boxer leads you into actor, leads you into fucking...
Comedian.
Action actor. And then, you know,
yeah, comedian.
That's just one hell of a
comedian,
journey, man. That's
one hell of a journey. Yeah. Well, you got some fucking nachos on your belt. No one could ever take that away from you.
It sounded like you said you got some nachos on your belt.
Bro, if you have nachos under your belt, I'm going to be under your belt.
I'm sorry. Sorry. Food Network. I got Food Network on my brain.
What's he going on? A Chopped?
Yeah. You got some nachos. Nachos.
So what do you got coming up, man? Like, you said you got that show.
I got that big show in Burbank, August 20th at the Colony Theater. A bunch of funny comedians: Brian McDaniel, Sean Kanan, say a few, and then yeah, man, you just see me hustling around, man. Show up at the Laugh Factory. I got a show at the Comedy Store again. I'm sorry, not Laugh Factory, the Haha. I got a show at the Comedy Store on the 21st. It's Friday night.
Awesome.
Martin Harris's show.
Man.
Yeah. So, man, just out there.
What room? What room?
In the Belly Room. Harris's show. So I've been doing a lot of shows with Martin Harris and Jimmy Shin over there.
You know? Perfect, bro. That's awesome.
They put on a good show, and they seem to sell out all the time.
That's awesome.
So. And the Haha shows you some fucking love all the time.
Yeah.
That's fucking great, dude.
Yeah, I get up there as much as I can.
Dude, that's fucking fantastic. I love when I see that, you know, your fucking name on their shows,
on
their flyers,
man.
And stuff.
Yeah.
No, it's just like, you know, that guy's been loyal there since the beginning, and it's great to see loyalty pay off. And you know, it's great we have to have a place that when you're fucking filming all week and you have to memorize lines and you actually want to go get on stage and you can't book shit out far in advance. So you know, I want to get on stage tonight. It's very cool that they'll
fucking they put show you me a lot there. Of love over there, man.
That's awesome. Really, they got your painting on the wall and shit, bro.
I know. Oh, that's cool, it was a little premature. I was like, when Jack was like, I want to paint you on the wall. I was like.
No, that just means like, bro, we're ready
for that. No, that's cool though.
Listen,
cool.
But no. But the thing is, your past experience is made you want to say that.
It made you who you are, so you deserve it. Yeah. And then also they believe in you. You know, they see big things for you, so they'll be like, hey, he's been on the wall since before. But yeah, you're right. Even huge that's right now, bro. Well, I mean, but when you get huge, like, you know what I mean? They'll be like, he's been here, so that's why they did it. And then if you don't get huge, just fucking paint over it.
Exactly.
No, but that's great, man. I see you out doing fucking shows and shit. And,
thanks, dude.
And
right back at you.
I look forward to the movie. Just keep us all posted.
I will, man.
On Twitter,
You can follow me at Sean Carrigan, SEANCARRIGAN.
On Sean Twitter. Is spelled like scene.
Yeah, that's right. And then on Instagram, it's the real Sean Carrigan because there's another Sean Carrigan who got it before me. So I'm just
fake motherfucker.
That's okay. I like a lot of his stuff. I like.
Oh, okay.
Well, but we got the real.
His name is Sean Carrigan.
Oh, you like his stuff?
Yeah, like I'll like his stuff.
Every once you like his pictures?
Yeah, like his pictures.
It's like, hey, I'm hanging out with
him. I follow Sean Carrigan.
You live vicariously through him? Like, oh man, what if I was like a family?
So he always feels
like I'm like that son of a bitch got my name.
You know, he always feels the weight of the real Sean Carrigan.
The real Sean Carrigan's watching you, Sean Carrigan.
He could actually go out there and like date all he wants and no chick's ever gonna be able to Google him. unless they got patience for like page 10 on Google.
Oh shit, man.
Oh yeah, so guys, keep in touch with Sean and I'm sure he'll be posting about that show that he has coming up, and then I'm sure he'll be letting everybody know about when the TV show's going to come out and when the movie's going to be airing.
September 15th, it drops on Netflix. It's called American Vandal.
Keep that in mind, you guys, and just give a couple of shout outs here. Sal Paradise, thanks for joining the Parishioners team.
What's up, Sal?
Let me see, there's somebody else here too. Shout out to Ookie Spooky.
Ookie Spooky.
Yes, for listening. I'm going to give a shout out to Cheryl Nixon, new fan of mine who's fucking been cool on Twitter and shit.
Say that again. Cheryl Nixon. Thank you, Cheryl Nixon.
Shout out to One by One Podcast and Design, who's always fucking supporting and being dope as fuck.
Thanks, One by One.
Shout out to Ryan Hogson for joining the fucking Parishioners family.
Thank you, Rye.
Let's see what else.
Ryan, whoever you.
All right, you guys. Yeah, just fucking keep in touch with me on Twitter. I got shows coming up. I'm at Flappers. I'm just doing a guest. I'm gonna be working on some new shit. If you guys, it's in the little room. If you guys want to come out, it's this Sunday. It's the little room. It's at 7 o'clock on a Sunday. You know, you're fucking home at a reasonable hour for work the next day. If you want to just come out, fucking work on. I'm working on new material. If you want to come for fun. But Irvine Improv this Wednesday, I'm going to be there. Place. Oh, it's so I love doing Irvine Improv. Yeah, I'm such a fat ass. Here's why I love doing Irvine Improv. Because their food is Umami Burger. I can't justify paying for Umami Burger because it's expensive for a burger. But when I'm getting free food, bro, I love Irvine Improv. Come out to Irvine Improv, some good food and some good comedy. We got fucking me, Jason Lawhead, and Jimmy Schubert, the fucking three-man show.
Oh, wow.
It's
going to
be
a
fucking beast. It's going to be some fun. Come out and say hello. And then put it on your calendars. Sorry, what's up?
I love Jimmy Schubert, man. Yeah. That guy's
He was on last week.
He was our last guest.
Guest last week.
Oh, it's so cool, man.
He's such a cool dude. He was at my 4th of July party. He bust out some fucking deck of cards. He's just doing magic for everybody. He's just a solid, fun dude to be around. That's this Wednesday Irvine Improv. This episode's going to drop like tonight because I normally drop it on Monday and I didn't record one last week because like fucking 4th of July fucked everybody up. So yeah, I'm going to drop it tonight. What the fuck else was I going to say? Okay, so yeah, San Diego. If you're in San Diego area, listen up. This is for you. I'm coming to your town. I'm doing a place called, bear with me. It's called Gossip Grill in San Diego. It's a charity event to raise money for animals, for an animal shelter. And I'm going to be doing this comedy show there, so that should be a lot of fun. And then put it on your calendar. August 24th through August 26th, there's 5 chances to catch a show. So we got Thursday, 2 Friday, 2 Saturday. I'm at the Ontario Improv. Me and Uncle Joey. Nice. Fucking, it's gonna be a wild fucking weekend.
Wow.
And I look forward to seeing you guys all there. And I'm Augustino Zoida on all social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. If you don't know how to spell my name, look at your phone right now. Kevin Lyons.
Two High McFly Productions.
At Two High McFly Productions.
That's TwoHighMcFly.com.
Productions. He's on Facebook if you want to hit him up about filmmaking advice and stuff like that, and you're thinking about starting it. He's the guy to fucking hit up. Hit him up, private message him on Facebook. You know, send him a picture of your dick. He loves that shit.
No creepers. No dick pics.
Also, guys, please do me a favor. I know I ask a lot of you, throwing a lot of shit at you. This is the part where you people were like, turning off the podcast here. So if you're still listening, thanks so much. Do us a favor and go check out the On the Rocks episodes. Two High McFly Productions, On the Rocks, that Kevin and I film. We actually review movies weekly.
Oh, cool. And that I force him to watch that he wouldn't normally watch. And then we drink whiskey. Watch,
and then we fucking have whiskey on the rocks. Oh, and we do nice. A brief like review of it. And it's a new concept. Funny movie reviews. It's me and my buddy just hanging out. We do new movies, old movies. We just filmed Spider-Man Homecoming. We won't say what we thought of it because it's a current movie in theaters right now. But if you want to, it's going to be dropping soon. Thank you guys for listening to Parishioners Podcast. Sean.
Yo.
Thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, man.
I've been wanting to have you on for a while. Yeah,
it was great seeing you again. Dude, I haven't seen you in like so long, man.
In years, man.
I know.
I think so, man.
We wanted to have you on for a while. Fucking your schedule's fucked up. My schedule's fucked up. No worries, Fourth of July has fucked us all up.
Yeah.
Hang on, let me get my music ready, you guys.
What song are you going to pick?
Oh, man, I had it, like, ready to go. Where the fuck did it go? You guys go ahead and talk. Go ahead and talk to each other.
Hey, what's up? Yeah, hey, man, this is fun.
How's that nacho belt? How's that nacho belt, Sean?
I got nachos on my belt.
Man, I had it all put up ready to go. Now it's probably going to make me go through an ad first. Fucking YouTube. Mm-hmm. Of course it's going to make me go through an ad first. But, yeah, man, thanks for coming on. It was great to have you. I never really get to see you. You're a solid fucking dude.
Oh, back at you, man.
And you've always been cool with me.
Oh, man. You know what, dude? You've always been cool with me, too, man.
Yeah, so. You know. If we should have sex.
What?
Wait,
huh?
What? Huh? What?
Did you say we should have sex?
Joke. No. No, I said, so what's next?
Oh, you, all right. Cool. Sorry. My ears.
It's something that we used to do when I used to work at the AHA, and he always used to leave. At the time, Sean was... I was married.
Yeah, okay.
So Sean used to be married, and he'd be leaving. All right, man, I'm out of here. He used to be like, all right, bro, just make sure you give your wife a big kiss for me. He'd be like, all right, bro. And then he'd come back like, wait, what? What do you mean? Like, with tongue. Like, all right, yeah, he'll walk back. Right, okay, cool. Wait, what do you mean with tongue? I said, no, I meant like she's fun. Like you guys are like a fun couple.
You guys have fun.
So we did that for a long time, and then he got divorced, and then it turned into gay shit somehow. And I was like, bro, I really want to tongue your butt. And you're like, wait, what? I was like, dude, you're let's go get Pizza Hut. I said, let's go. I don't know why that was our fucking inside thing. Retarded.
Did you find that song?
Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks for listening to Parishioners Podcast. See you next time.
Thanks, buddy.
This song's for you, buddy.
Oh, yeah, dude.
It's a great song. Kevin.
Rocky.
You didn't hit stop, right?
No.
Okay. Kevin, guess what movie this is. Oh, he just said it. Okay, so never mind.
No, I didn't hear what he said.
Guess what movie this is from. I guess which
one. Stop. Oh, fuck.
Lower power mode.
It sounds like very 80s montage-y.
Yeah. You're on the same.
That's actually...
I don't know.
Just listen for a few more seconds.
I've been listening.
The listeners right now are yelling it out.
Alright, here, I'm going to give you a clue. The guy who's in the movie is working out right now.
No, he's not. He's driving his car. He's driving his Ferrari right now. Yeah. Depends on which fucking part you're talking about.
I thought that...
Oh, Rocky?
This is from four?
Rocky four.
This is when he's like training, dude. This is when
he's
training.
It's after that he says he's gonna fight the Russian and his wife's like, no, and he leaves the
You can't win! You can't win!
That's right. Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
That's a man who knows his Rocky four.
Yeah, you're like Rocky the expert. Alright, Sean, thank you so much, bro. Get yourself home, get some rest. Hey, buddy.
Great seeing you, man.
Take care, good luck with everything.
You pop by the club, comedy club.
All right, man.
There, Sean.
fucking... Oh, come on.